Welcome to Analytics Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into our continued series here, quarterbacks. We're comparing underdog average draft position versus dynasty real draft position, right? So using our AOD number versus what's going on in our redraft best ball leagues over at Underdog and trying to get a comparison there. We're looking, and again, I sort of broke down sort of the rationale of this in the first episode that was on quarterbacks that were overvalued. This is quarterbacks that are undervalued. But again, we're looking at any quarterbacks that have a draft position that is higher in redraft compared to their dynasty ADP, probably a value, especially as we get further down the line. So we'll look at some of these here. Tom Brady is the most notable one. And listen, I think it's actionable. You pair Tom Brady with Watson, that becomes a very good situation. And then you're probably ahead in a quarterback two spot, especially if that's your quarterback two spot. If you got someone better than Watson, that's a really good insulation against the Watson risk. I think Brady and Watson pair particularly well. Brady and some of the younger guys might pair particularly well too, if you have a specific shot there. He spent a handful of weeks in retirement and then totally ruined my Sunday night by coming back. He's really a year-to-year play at this point, but his ADP at Underdog is QB8, far outpaces his dynasty RDP at quarterback 21. And once you get in that quarterback 20, 25, right, that late teens into the early 20s there, you know, I'd say like 18 to 25, depending on the year, it gets a little bit more year to year in that range. You run out of guys that have multiple years of security in that range. That's basically your cutoff line. And so Brady, I think if you're looking kind of in a 1 year window type, he should be probably at the top of that board. And that's right about where he is. So Brady offers a ceiling and is an intriguing player. And listen, I think a guy like Watson pairs particularly well with Brady, because if Brady were to fall off, you have reinforcements with Watson, and you have an asset that you can trade with Watson to figure that out as well. So I think for that reason, as assets and as sort of mix and match players at this point, they pair particularly well. So, and again, if you're in sort of a year-to-year window, or if your team's otherwise competitive and you need a jump shot at or a jump start at quarterback too, Brady makes a lot of sense in that range. That's him. He's the first one. The next one up is Daniel Jones. And like, it's interesting that Daniel Jones is more valued in redraft, but it could be one of those things like it doesn't matter. And I go back to the movie Major League, where they're sitting in the outfield and the one guy's like, well, he hit it too high, and he hit it too, they're arguing and they're bickering about the trajectory of the ball, and the one guy turns to the other one and he says, who gives a shit, it's gone, right? That's kind of what I feel with Daniel Jones. Like, he can be 4, 5, 6 spots ahead of his dynasty RDP in Underdog, but if he's going to finish his quarterback 20, he's probably not going to be a long-term starter anyways, right? That's not enough. That's not enough to sort of right his wrong of his career at this point. So that's the concern that I have with him. It's the who gives a shit, it's gone type of approach to his thing, to him being valued more in redraft than in dynasty. However, that said, I want to pitch what we did at Football Guys, which is, I thought, interesting. You go over to Football Guys, he's quarterback 17. So again, his RDP is 29. His Underdog ADP is 23. We have him at 17. And there's a big difference there. There's a couple points a game difference between 17 and 23. Is that enough? I mean, for example, we project 6.9 yards per attempt. He's the only player in the top 30 outside of Darnold that has an yards per attempt projection lower than 7. Right, he's the second lowest, and Darnold's lower than him. Right, that's concerning. Right? That is concerning. However, from a fantasy usability a year standpoint, he's interesting. Again, how does he fit into a team build? Listen, if you're trying to take an upside shot, if you're trying to take a swing in the back half of the round, his rushing ability, the change in scheme, he has the ability to outproduce. He has a lot of the abilities to outproduce his cost. From a rushing perspective, if his weapons got right, he has high efficiency guys, particularly in a guy like Tony. He's getting a change to a coaching staff that really brought along Josh Allen. And listen, Barkley gets right. Tony gets right. Galladay's healthy. You have Sterling Shepard. All of a sudden, you have Wandale Robinson. All of a sudden, like if that is right, if their whole situation is right, that's a decent spot for Daniel Jones. The problem is it has been so broken over the course of his career that it's been tough for him to, even when he's been healthy, to not trip over the obstructions that his offense is putting in place for him. So that's the give and take with him. He has to, I think, for this year, I think he's interesting. Again, then I wonder, is he like this generation or this class is Mitchell Trubisky, where maybe he performs okay this year but doesn't get a starting job next year, but can go, again, I don't know, back up Josh Allen, and then all of a sudden after a year he's on a more positive track. Maybe he's the next candidate for that type of treatment. I don't know. I'm curious to see what success looks like, and I think he has to have a high level of success to really transition and pivot into being a successful player, especially now that he's looking at free agency and this is the last year of his contract. So this is a little bit of, it might be tough for him to make a big difference. And I think he needs to take a huge leap to really resurrect his career in the version of a long-term starter. And if he doesn't, a 5, 6, 7, 8 spot difference in his ADP versus his real draft position this year, not a huge advantage there in terms of dynasty. So that's the trick with him. Again, but we are bullish. So for what that's worth, Football Guys is bullish on Daniel Jones. So I think he's an interesting upside swing there. But again, you have to realize that it's probably a swing and a miss when you take it. So quarterback 4, quarterback 3, like he's an interesting guy to pair behind two supermax guys. Because if you put him there, you could say, hey, listen, if he really outplays himself, then I can give myself this better, much better asset. That's kind of what you're looking for. You can take a big swing when you have two of those guys. I think that's the spot where Daniel Jones resides as a position. Jalen Hurts is next up, and you've got Philly, who's really improved their offense this offseason. They've traded A.J. Brown. They've got Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. I think if you were going to stack up trios in terms of efficiency, they're one of the most efficient. Goddard is one of the most efficient tight ends, and A.J. Brown is one of the most efficient wide receivers. Devonta Smith on a success track after his rookie season as well. You put all those guys together, Jalen Hurts really is a guy that can capitalize. Again, how does he outperform? Those guys come together, they throw the ball a little bit more. He can rush in 6, 7, 8 touchdowns and be a top 5 quarterback, well within his range of outcomes. The problem is, and I think here's the rub on him, he's quarterback 6 in at underdog. He's quarterback 12 in RDP. Philly's got 2 first-round picks in 2023, and they could really be an attractive landing spot for a quarterback that wants to get traded, right? There's both of those options, and they have 2 first-round picks next year to do that with. Again, if they want to go in debt in the future, they can do that too. So all of a sudden, you've got 3 first-round picks for a team. You include Hurts with that. All of a sudden, right, that can probably get you near almost any quarterback. If it's Kyler Murray, if it's, you know, we don't necessarily know who it could be. If it's Lamar Jackson, there's a whole host of different guys that could be at a point where their team is not willing to pay them what they want and they demand a trade. And we've seen that with, Russell Wilson, for example. He didn't want to be there anymore, right? We've seen that with Stafford, right? We've seen these deals happen. We've seen it with Watson, right? So I think this is probably a trend that will maybe continue, and maybe it'll be a one-a-year type of thing. Philly looks like a particularly good landing spot if Jalen Hurts doesn't go to a much higher level, right? If he doesn't go to a franchise starter level. Because, again, then you're looking at they have to pay him, right? Then this will be year three. After year four, they have to pay him. So we'll see. I think he's probably a better passer than people give him credit for. And we'll see how it transitions. But that's, I think, what's holding his dynasty value back. If he finishes top five quarterback, top six quarterback, something like that, I mean, we have him projected at 8 yards per attempt, 7.95. So we'll round up to 8. That's, like, if he does that, he's probably on a really high trajectory. He's probably on a starter's trajectory. I think him paired with, see, he's an interesting one about how you pair him, because he doesn't really pair well with a guy like Brady because they're both playing in this window. You're kind of trying to pair long-term versus short-term. He pairs pretty well with Watson, for example, right? That's an interesting trajectory. I think surrounding him with a guy, with an elite guy, and if you go early at the quarterback position, let's see, you pick early, you go Allen, Mahomes, something like that. You come back with Hurts if you miss on a Supermax, and then you insulate with a guy like Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, something like that. That sort of blends you high upside now and stability, right? It kind of blends a Supermax together a little bit and gives you enough options to figure it out. And listen, I think even if Philly moves on from Jalen Hurts, they probably have enough. He's probably got enough cachet at this point to be a starter someplace else, right? So we'll see there. I think it's interesting. I think if you're going to take him, you really have to think about what it's going to say about the trajectory of your team. And I think you really have to be in the right mindset with your team and really think through what moves you're going to make with him to be on him. I don't dislike him. I like him as a player. I think he's interesting statistically. I think he's probably better than we give him credit for passer-wise. But realize that there is a risk with it, and it's reflected in the market, both in his RDP and his upside and the underdog ADP. Kirk Cousins, I mean, I could just clip out last year's version of the show and redo it. Underrated dynasty option, and it's just no different. It's Justin Jefferson. It's Adam Thielen. He's quarterback 16 and underdog, and he's got the ability to overproduce that. I actually think he's probably underpriced there for the simple reason of his range of outcomes is probably something between, I don't know, let's call it quarterback 8 and quarterback 20. He probably doesn't have a ton of quarterback 3 or 4 outcomes in his range of outcomes, right? If you were to do some simulations, there's limited of that. And if you're playing best ball, you need to have some access to that, so it drives his cost down a little bit. So I would bet, I would take the he performs better than quarterback 16 line, right? I would take, you know, if you're looking over under finishes, I would take, you know, the under 16 and a half or 15 and a half, whatever, meaning that he's better than that. So he's quarterback 2 option in dynasty that pairs well with, again, Hurts, Watson. I think those guys are interesting in the quarterback 2-3 duo type of way. But you have to be careful of being redundant. See, if you have 2 supermaxes, Cousins probably isn't a guy that, I don't know if that does a ton for you, because you're probably not going to have the best ability to use him as an asset. And if you're not using Cousins, he might not offer you the ability to trade. You know, for example, I go back to this because I think a lot about pairing these types of assets or layering or sort of giving yourself access to different tiers of players. But I went Mac Jones to Devontae Adams. The person that had Devontae Adams wasn't going to want Kirk Cousins because they were rebuilding. And so I think that a little diversification, if you have 2 elite Supermax guys in your quarterback 3, might open you up to different ranges of different positions. So maybe Cousins isn't great in that sphere. But again, I really like him. I think he's a roster construction guy as well. Jared Goff is virtually left for dead in Dynasty. He has an RDP of quarterback 29. I think, and I've detailed this, I actually wrote a Football Guys article with a bunch of stuff on Jared Goff in it. I think he's got a better job security than maybe the market appreciates. Above average offensive lines, well within the range of outcomes. They were average last year, and I think they got better. They have TJ Hockenson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, as well as Jameson Williams. And he's got an underdog ADP of 24. Football Guys projects him at, I'm sorry, underdog ADP of 26. Football Guys projects him at 24. And I think he could overproduce that. I think he could be better than that. And again, how, just think about how is this player, how can he get really right? Listen, if Jameson Williams is the right answer and he's comes back early on, that might unlock something for Goff. Does Goff have the physical tools to be, you know, top six guy? Maybe not necessarily in a non-Sean McVay offense, right? Yeah, things really need to go well for that. But I do think things can go well to the tune of a high-end quarterback two type finish for Jared Goff, because the system's really good, and you're going to be playing a lot of games indoors, right? You've got and you've got good protection. When he's been protected, he's been pretty good. And that's, I think, something that they have figured out. But all of a sudden, you start looking at that offense, and you're like, wow, there's some pretty good pieces in there and some diverse pieces in there that could really be interesting. Again, and you have a guy like DJ Shark as well, right? You have a lot of, like, interesting, productive players at different points of their career that if things really – if everything sort of goes right, that's one where I think he could well overproduce his quarterback 29. Costin, listen, I think he's probably in a multi-year window of being a starter. I mean, contractually, his deal gets cheaper than this year, and he's like a top five cap hit cost. His deal gets cheaper as he goes along, and less a significant drop in the amount of the cap that it takes on. So I think for Goff, I think that's a really, if you're looking quarterback three, quarterback four, trying to fix, how do you insulate against Watson? That's a good example. You know, maybe if you want to insulate Hurts, that's an interesting example with a guy like Goff too. Again, maybe not the best security after this year, but I do think Goff pairs particularly well with Watson's insulation. So that would be one that I would think about. And I think for a quarterback three, listen, I think you're probably, if you're struggling a little bit at quarterback one or two, right, if you got holes there, I think Goff fits better as a quarterback three. That's a little bit maybe lower risk, lower ceiling, like a more narrow range of outcomes. You might not necessarily be the big swing that you want to take for a quarterback if you got two super max guys. All right, Aaron Rodgers is the last one up here. He's going to be 29 in December. So the dynasty community has written him off as dead. RDP of quarterback 15. Underdog has him at quarterback 12. I wonder what the big outcome is for him. How does he produce the big outcome? That's probably the question or concern that I have. I think in dynasty, he's going to figure it out. And this could be a Cam Newton type situation where no one's particularly high producing, but Cam Newton finished like top five quarterback. I think he was quarterback one year when there was like basically no one in the top 30 at their position. That's something that Rodgers can do, distributing the ball, a lot of stuff to Aaron Jones and the backfield, the tight ends. And you just kind of look around and he spreads the ball all over the place. And yeah, there's four or five receivers that each have, you know, four or five touchdowns, and they just start at, you know, and there's double-digit touchdowns between the running backs and the tight ends, and all of a sudden he's got high 30s into the 40s at touchdowns, and you're like, wait, what? And yeah, that's totally possible for a guy like Rodgers, and yeah, so quarterback 12 in ADP, quarterback 15 in RDP. So again, for him, he's steady Eddie at the position, and if people are going to fade him, the problem is it's tough to cash out on him at this point because I think a lot of the market's fading him and doesn't see the ceiling. If you want to pivot to him, you got to realize, though, that you're pivoting to a 39-year-old. All right, again, does he play two, three, four, five more years? That's something that you're constantly worried about sort of in that range. So that would be the – and he's finicky, right? He's not totally predictable. So that's some stuff that I think you got to give a little bit of pause to. But otherwise, I like him as an option. And again, I have him in a couple of spots where I'm like, if I could pivot up, I'd do it. But this is not a huge market for that. Maybe at some point in the next 6 months, there will be a window for that. If you're trying to make a pivot, it's probably not now. Right? Maybe there's an injury. And listen, maybe there's a season-long injury to a guy that's a higher asset, right? That's a supermax guy. You know, what if Dak Prescott goes down for an injury, or what if, what happens if a guy like Mahomes goes down in week nine and he's having a really good season, but he goes down in week nine, you know, that person is in a contending window and is a pivot from Rodgers to Mahomes, is that something that's possible? Well, you have to start thinking ahead on that, right? That's what you want to be in the position to do if it happens. That can be a lot of times how you get the elite assets. I think the way you start thinking about that is start planning ahead and trying to build in some depth and say, hey, listen, if this happens, I need to be in a position to do this. And that means I'm going to take a loss at my quarterback one or quarterback two spot, wherever Rodgers is. So I might need to insulate against that. So if I am making a deal for, if I have Rodgers and my 6 month plan is to make a deal, trading away Rodgers, know that one of the things that is going to make that happen is when someone else has a big need at quarterback. So you might want to fill in a quarterback three, a quarterback four, whatever makes you feel comfortable on your roster right now. Fill that while it's cheap, right? Maybe it's a Goff, right? maybe it's a Brady, right? Fill that now. And so that way you're playing from depth when the situation comes. That would be kind of the way that I would think about striking on a guy like Rodgers as the season goes along. So in terms of making a pivot up the board, right? Maybe the situation never presents itself, but you want to be able to pounce and capitalize from depth that doesn't hamstring you. Start preparing to do that now. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.